We hope you enjoyed this teaching by Pastor Steve Kelly and Wave Church. We thank you for taking the time to listen to this teaching, and we believe that it will enrich and empower your life.
I was talking to a friend of mine a little while ago, and I was just thinking, in light of all the challenges that we face today with what's going on in our nation and what's happening with, you know, COVID and the ongoing challenges of COVID and obviously winter and new strains, that in all honesty, if you weren't careful, you could actually get very defeated. You could actually get very concerned. And if not careful, you could allow that to turn into a spirit of fear. Does that make sense? And I don't think actually that the media, for all its desire to help educate us and keep us informed, I do think we're being saturated. And I actually want to make sure that I'm being saturated in the Word of God.
Right. Yeah.
You hearing me? And I want to make sure I got enough of God in me and the Word in me to actually balance out all the things that I'm hearing so that fear does not enter my heart. Does that make sense? And I think also add to that all the political unrest that is happening, and then even social injustice that is happening. And I think to myself, if we weren't careful, we could actually go down a very negative path. Are you hearing me? And I was talking to a friend of mine who pastors the church in Austin, Texas. And I was asking him, because his son, who was at the time was 17 years of age. This is several years ago. But it made me think about in what we're thinking about right now, what we're facing. And I just want to have a pastoral moment before I preach. Is that okay? So it made me think about and reminded me of what he shared with me back then. Anybody who faces the loss of a son or a daughter is beyond words a tragic event. And I know people who have faced that. And, parents should never bury their children. You have me here? But that does happen. And so I said to him, I said, how are you doing? How are you coping with this? Because he seemed not without, I mean, don't misunderstand me. It's tragic. It's painful. It's devastating. And yet I looked at them and they seem to be, through it all, dealing with it, not without all the challenges, you understand, but dealing with it better than I would have ever imagined. So I just asked him, how are you dealing with it? And this is what he said to me, and I'll never forget it, because from that day till this, I feel like I've understood more about my calling because of what he told me. And this is what he told me. He goes, Steve, I realize, he goes, my son now, his name is Caleb, is in heaven. And he goes, and then I realized that we will all spend a lot more time in heaven than we ever will here on earth. That earth is just temporary. That actually, he says, I realized because of this moment that my job as a pastor is to help people get ready for heaven. For the loss of my own son. He goes, I've realized there's another dimension of my calling, that earth life is just temporary. That spiritual life is really the most important thing. What does it profit a man if he gains the whole world and forfeits his soul? And I thought about that in light of just what we're dealing with today with COVID. And I thought about just what that looks like and what that means for me is, like, sometimes people seems to me as pastor, can I talk to us for a moment? What I'm going to say for everybody who's watching online, I'm including you in what I'm saying. You understand the importance of spiritual life. Now, you obviously are not here out of maybe you're elderly or you've got underlying health issues and you're being cautious in COVID. Someone say amen. And I say, you are leaning into an online, you're as much a part of this service as everybody sitting here, and I celebrate that you're watching. But it seems to me there are some people who've taken hold of COVID and lost the regularity of their church attendance, and out of a concern and preservation of their health, which I get, but that's more concerned about earth life without understanding the importance of your spiritual life. And it's them that I'm asking us online and in person and Seaboard Road, let's make sure we lean into those people who aren't online, who aren't in church, and say, hey, spiritual life matters. I realize my job as pastor is to get us ready for heaven. And we're going to spend a whole lot more time in heaven than we ever will on earth life. Anybody say amen to that? Come on, somebody thank God. That's a good thought, isn't it? Just for me this morning. And I'm wanting to make sure that nobody online ever feels like you're not a part of who we are in church life. But I just think to myself, you can't underestimate spiritual life. Amen. So well done for everybody watching online. So last week I talked about dancing in the desert. And I talked about how that, the Bible talks about Miriam when at the Red Sea and she saw the Red Sea open and swallow Pharaoh and 600 chariots, men on chariots, swallowed by the Red Sea. The Bible says she got a timbrel and she actually said, I'm going down to the Red Sea and I want to sing and I want to dance. And all these women followed her. Amen. And the song she sang, I've memorized it. By the way, I didn't memorize it for this sermon. I've sung this song many times over many, many years. I will sing unto the Lord, for he has triumphed gloriously. The horse and rider are thrown into the sea. And Miriam that day saw the hand of God swallow up Israel's enemies. And Pharaoh, the strongest man in the world, and Pharaoh's strongest warriors were swallowed up. This is the very first mention in the Bible about waterboarding. Our military will appreciate the humor, probably not much else. And God literally used water as a weapon. Amen? And so I want to continue on because I feel like there's a theme that I feel like God's birthed in my heart for this whole 2021, that we can't afford to allow anything or anyone to cause us to lose our song, or cause us to lose our dance. Amen? So the Bible says they dance in the desert. Now, I don't know about you, but the desert and dance don't go together. I mean, to me, the desert is a hot and a dry and a barren place. When I think about the desert, I think about those movies, you know, where they're dehydrated and they're walking into the desert and their lips are all cracked and they're just going, water. And then they have these mirages where they think they found water and then they think they come across this oasis in the desert. And to me, when I think about the desert, it's death, it's dehydration. And that's why, by the way, and that's not a wrong picture of the desert. The Bible says the children of Israel walked through the desert for 40 years, and that's why God actually had a pillar of cloud by day so the cloud would shade them from the sun or the sun would have cooked them. And that's why God had a pillar of fire by night, because that pillar of fire in the middle of the night, they would have froze to death in the desert. So to me, when I think about the desert and how that the Bible says Miriam danced in the desert, I think, yeah, those two don't go together. And Moses is at the Red Sea. And he's by water. And what seemed to be the end was actually their way through. Be honest with me this morning. Come on, Greenville, Seaboard, everybody online, here, church. How many of you ever thought to yourself, you found yourself, fell somewhere and went, oh, this is it. This is the end of me. How many have ever been there? Okay, close your eyes, bow your heads. How many have ever, you ever done something and you thought, that's it, this will be the ruining of me? Have you ever found yourself in a place where there's no way forward, but your enemy is chasing you down? You got nowhere to go. You can't go forward. Who's ever been there where you felt like you're stuck and you just don't know, this will be the ruining of me? And I thought about that and I thought, God fought Pharaoh with a water gun. Now, we don't think as water as a weapon, but think about it. Jesus turned water into wine. What would have been a tragic event at a wedding where they ran out of wine? Jesus says, get me some water and I'll do something miraculous with it. How many know God can do some amazing things with water? For instance, Jesus, the Bible says, was baptized in water and then, and only then, at the age of 30, did he begin his earthly ministry as the Son of God. And it was actually water baptism that brought the power. And that's why I want to say to everybody, especially online, if you're new to Wave and new to faith, water baptism is so important. And I'm not talking about maybe like me when I grew up in the church who I grew up in, I had godparents and they sprinkled me as a little baby. I'm talking about a Bible baptism where you were baptized because you're of an age where you have made your decision to put your faith in Christ and you are baptized, which is getting under the water. And I want to encourage everybody here, you need to see water baptism as a powerful weapon against the enemy in Jesus' name. Somebody should give God praise for that. Jesus walked on water. Jesus pulled fish out of water. In other words, he brought provision. Amen. The Bible says in Genesis, in the beginning was God. How many are glad it was God? How many are glad it wasn't Donald Trump? How many are glad it wasn't Joe Biden? Just to be make sure we're, you know, equally controversial. Amen. I mean, I'm just glad it wasn't Lady Gaga. Amen. I'm certainly glad it wasn't Doris Day. I'm just appealing to a certain generation right now, because Doris Day was famous for singing, "Que sera, sera, the future's not ours, you see, whatever will be, will be." And a whole generation brought the lie. You just got to accept what happens. Que sera, sera. No, no, no. We can change things. We don't have to go, oh, laissez-faire. In the beginning was God. And the Bible says the Spirit of God was hovering over the waters. God can do some amazing things with water. And here are the children of Israel at the Red Sea, no way forward. And here comes Pharaoh and 600 chariots chasing him down. And I'm thinking, come on, God flooded the whole world with water. Amen. Think about it. Water saved the righteous and killed the wicked. Noah's family in the flood. Think about it. God used water, watch this, to separate the children of Israel from their enemies. They got through the Red Sea, and then the Bible says God closed the Red Sea when Pharaoh, the strongest man in all the world. But I hear Christians fearful about what's happening in North Korea and Iran and China and Russia and what's going to happen to the United States. And I want to declare today, God can use a water gun as a weapon. Why are we living in fear? Think about it. I mean, let's just go through this. It says that God used water to separate them from their enemies, but he also used water to see to it that they couldn't go back. Right. He didn't want the children of Israel in the desert to lose heart. So he closes the water so they can't go back. Amen. I just got to illustrate this. Some of you just are being a little bit too quiet. Come here, quick. Here we go. So here it is. He's like, God uses water. Is anybody can? I'm going to get the cameraman. Oh, man. Did I get water on the lens? I hope I didn't. He used water. Praise God. Some of you need to hit James Schubert. Somebody told me you weren't smiling when I shot you this morning. Somebody said you were very unimpressed. So I'm just going to do you a little. All right. Oh, Joe, here we go. He used water. Some of you got to catch this. There's so many people sitting in so many sections. I hope I have enough water. Praise the Lord. Hey, you brought a blanket. You're cheating. You're getting there. He must have seen what happened. Hey, come on. Hey, you catching it? He used water. Some of you are going to remember this message because of this. Above the sound desk. Oh, I love it. It's been a long time since we've been seeing people sitting up there. Welcome these people. Come back next week. Praise the Lord. Water. You want me to shoot you? My friend, I'm happy to oblige. Praise the Lord. Water. I'll be nice. Praise the water. You're the guy that brought this. How many think if he brought the water gun, I should especially get him? There you go. Now I've got to get back up on the stage here. Praise the Lord. Think about it now. Water. I want to encourage you to get baptized in water. I want you to realize that God can even use water as a weapon. Amen. Come on, someone give the Lord a hand. So they get through the Red Sea. You got the point now? They get through the Red Sea. And 3 days later, they come across a water source. How many know if you're in the desert, you need water? So they come across a water source, and the Bible says the water was bitter. You ever felt like maybe God was leading you to something better, and when you get there, it wasn't as good as you thought. Come on, somebody. You thought, man, when I get married, all my problems will end. I'll be able to have sex. Oh, my greatest fear when I was a young man is that Jesus would come back before I got married and I would miss out on sex. Some of you young people, thank God you don't grow up with those fearful things. But a little bit of concern about Jesus coming back would do good for some of us. We ought to get back into that maybe, praise the Lord, no. But think about it. You thought, when I get married, or you thought, oh, if I can get that job, or if I could step into that role of ministry, man, will I be the happiest person in the world. And you get there, and the Bible says that they complained. They wanted to go back to Egypt. Listen to this. They wanted bad over good. They wanted, listen to this, good over God. Think about it. They said, we're better off as slaves in bondage. Think about this. God in Egypt led them out of Egypt, right. Took them to the Red Sea, opened the Red Sea. God led them through the Red Sea. Miriam has got a dance in the desert. And here these people are complaining and murmuring, oh, we would have been better off back in Egypt as slaves. I want to tell you, friends, the past is not as good as you think. Some of us have this idea of the past and think it was better. The Bible says, don't say, oh, the good old days. The Bible actually warns you about thinking like that. Some people say, oh, back in the church I got saved in, they were the good old days. They weren't that good. I remember when I was 17, I got saved. And remember now, I walked out of, you know, Quadrophenia, Sting, pogo dancing. And I remember, you know, walking in the church and people say, oh, they were real songs back in the 70s or back in the 80s. Well, I came out of a Sting concert, which is the largest sound system ever used in the world anywhere. And I walk in the church to a Christian concert and it was Barry Maguire, bullfrogs and butterflies. The wolf been born again, bullfrogs and butterflies. And I'm going, that's it. I've just come out of don't stand so close to me. Message in a bottle. And I'm going, that's all you got. Bullfrogs and butterflies. And people say, we need to get back to that day. Thank God. I mean, don't get me wrong. Barry Maguire is awesome. Are you hearing me? But that's why the Bible says, sing unto the Lord a new song. Because God's tired of the old songs. Amen? God used him in that day. But how many thank God things have gotten a little different today? Some of you still want to go back. That's your problem. Okay. And so they wanted to go back. They said, we're better off. And the enemy is great at making the past look more desirable. He's an expert at it. Don't complain. Sing and dance. Look what the Bible says. I'm going to take you just a couple of chapters through Exodus. I want to see if you can pick up the theme. In Exodus 14, verse 10, and Pharaoh approached the Israelites and looked up. And there were the Egyptians, it says. As Pharaoh approached the Israelites looked up. And there were the Egyptians marching after them. You ever felt like your enemy's right on you? And they were terrified and they cried out to the Lord. And then they said to Moses, was it because there was no graves in Egypt that you brought us to the desert to die? Imagine leading this lot. What have you done to us by bringing us out of Egypt? Didn't we say to you, leave us alone, let us serve the Egyptians? It would have been better for us to serve the Egyptians than to die in the desert. And Moses answered the people, don't be afraid, stand firm. You will see the deliverance the Lord will bring to you today. The Egyptians you see today, watch this, you will never see again. And the Lord will fight for you. You need only to be still. That's when I realized, think about this. These people who saw the hand of God get them out of Egypt. Remember the river Nile turned to blood? Remember the frogs, the locusts, the angel of death? Remember all that? Okay, these same people who saw the hand of God deliver them, get them through the Red Sea, are complaining. Are you hearing me? And that's when I realized people don't see things the way they really are. They see things the way they are. When somebody's negative and criticizing other people, it says a lot more about themselves than it does about the people they're criticizing. I think I need to say that one again. When somebody's negative and criticizing other people, it actually has a lot more to do with where they're at than what they're saying about the other person. Come on, somebody say amen. And so watch this now. Let's read on. It says here in Exodus 15, next chapter. It says, Moses led Israel from the Red Sea. So they're out of the Red Sea now. You got it? Miriam's done the song. She's done the dance. Everybody got that? And they led the children of Israel from the Red Sea, and they went into the desert of Shur. Everybody say Shur. For 3 days, they traveled without finding water. Well, when you're in a desert, water's kind of important. And so when they came to Marah, they could not drink the water because it was bitter. And that's why the place is called Marah. So the people grumbled against Moses. I mean, how would you like to be Moses? Every time you lead them, there's just murmuring, grumbling, negativity. And they grumbled against Moses. And then Moses, and they said, what are we to drink? Then Moses cried out to the Lord, and the Lord showed him a piece of wood, and he threw into the water, and the water became fit to drink. So you would think, okay, we're learning now. God is good. No matter what the environment, no matter what their circumstances, God got us out of Egypt. He got us through the Red Sea. And now the water's bitter, but we're going to be bitter like the water's bitter. But then Moses is going to throw a stick in the water, and now all of a sudden the water's good to drink. Wow! How many think you'd learn by now you can trust God? Well, let's read the next chapter. The whole Israelite community came out from Elim. So they're progressing. They're not just staying where they are. And it says, the whole Israelite community came out from Elim, and they came to the desert of Sin, which is between Elim and Sinai. On the 15th day of the second month, they came out of Egypt in the desert. The whole community, watch it, grumbled against Moses and Aaron. How would you like to be their senior pastor? Praise the Lord. Amen. It's gotten very quiet in here. The Israelites said to them, watch, if only we died by the Lord's hand in Egypt. There we sat around pots of meat and ate all the food we wanted. But you, Moses, brought us into the desert to starve this entire assembly to death. Come on! Does anybody get frustrated with these people? Is God getting frustrated with these people? Is Moses getting exhausted with these people? But read what they said. In Egypt, we had all the food we wanted. That's not true. They remembered something that wasn't real. Pharaoh, the Bible says, said, let's work these Israelites even harder and let's give them even less food so they're malnourished because there's so many of them, they're breeding like flies, and we've got to strengthen them and fatigue them and have them in a place of emaciation. I mean, this is not reality, but we remember things better in the past than they really were. So God gives them manna. It's quail from heaven. And it comes out of heaven. The word manna in the Hebrew literally means, what is it? Because they'd never seen it before. And it came from heaven. So God, in all the negativity and the mumbling and the grumbling, is still provided. And manna comes from, and this is what God says to them. Catch this, watch this. He says, now whatever you do, don't store up enough for several days. I will be faithful to you, and I will provide manna daily, except for the Sabbath day. You with me here? So you trust me, don't get greedy. You just get enough for today, and I'll provide for you tomorrow. Do you know what some people did? And God's trying to teach them to trust him. But some people didn't trust God. They grabbed more than enough. And then the Bible says when they tried to eat it, the next day and the day after, it tasted like maggots. Isn't that such a picture of today? We don't trust God with our tithe. And we actually say, I don't know if I can trust God to provide for me. And so we try to hang on to what was already God's. Anybody catching this? Hey, what song have you got? What kind of dance do you have in the desert? Come down Exodus 17. Watch this. I'm almost done. Exodus 17, verse 3. But the people were thirsty for water there. And they grumbled again against Moses. Why did you bring us up? This is by different chapters, different cities, different times. Why did you bring us up out of Egypt to make our children and livestock die in the desert? Then Moses cried, Lord, what am I to do? These people are ready to stone me. Here is Moses. He is fatigued. Are you hearing this? By people's constant need of him and negativity and mumbling and groaning. I got to tell you, one of the things we got to learn to do is pray for our leadership and speak well of our leadership. And don't exhaust your leadership. I'm talking about in your family, a husband and wife. The husband is the head of the house. And if all you do is negative and moan and groan about your husband, oh, he'll never change, he never leads. Well, he never will if you keep talking like that. Or maybe you might want to have a little power play. Oh, okay, it got very quiet here, didn't it? Or maybe even about our job or about our business or about who God has put in over our lives. Amen? And I'm just come to say, come on, in all this what's going on around the world, what's all that's happening right here in America, can I just say, Wave Church, can we keep our song? Can we keep our dance? Can we not be people who are just negative and criticizing leadership, but we trust God and we trust God's hand of sovereignty and we can actually not have lost our song and our dance in Jesus' name? Because I want to tell you, if I were the enemy, I would do everything I can to take away the church's song and I would do everything I could to take away the church's dance. Come on, somebody give God some praise. That wasn't a very convincing praise offering right there. Can anybody give God praise in light of the word? There you are. Let me show you just how bad this got. Okay, Exodus 18. The next day, Moses took his seat to serve as judge. This is now the children of Israel finally getting through the Red Sea, getting into a place of consistency and sustainability. And a bit of direction, a bit of maturity is starting to come. All right? So look what happens. The next day, Moses took his seat, sat as judge over the people. He stood around them from morning till evening. Everybody say morning till evening. Every day, it says, when his father-in-law saw all that Moses was doing for the people, he said, what is this you are doing for the people? Why do you alone sit as judge? While all the people stand around from morning till evening, Moses answered them, because the people come to me to seek God's will. Now, Moses made a mistake here. He says, whenever they have a dispute, it is brought to me. And I decide between the parties and I inform them God's decree and the instructions. Moses' father-in-law replied, what you're doing is not good. You and these people, watch this, who come to you will only wear yourselves out. This work is too heavy for you. You cannot handle it alone. Listen to me and I will give you some advice and may God be with you. You must be the people's representative before God and bring their disputes to him. It says, you must be the people's representative before God and bring their disputes to him. Teach them his decrees and his instructions. In other words, you got to teach people how to hear from God for yourself. You can't have everybody running to pastor. Pastor doesn't have all the answers all the time. We got to hear from God for ourselves. That's a good lesson right there. Not everything happens at the altar with the laying on of hands. If I go to the front, someone prays over me and I fall over, I got what I need. No, you need to learn how to hear for God for yourself in Jesus' name. Because pastor or the leader won't always be there. You got to find out what God wants you to do for your life. So Moses, you're the one that brings God and instruction and wisdom. You're to teach them how to hear from God. Are you hearing this? And it goes, teach them his decrees and show them the way that they're to live and how they're to behave. But select capable men from all the people, men who fear God, trustworthy, who hate dishonest gain. And appoint them as officials of thousands, hundreds, fifties, and ten. Have them serve as judges for people at all times, but have them bring every difficult case to you. The simple cases, they can decide themselves. That will make your load lighter because they will share it with you. If you do this, as God so commands, you'll be able to stand against the strain and all these people will go home satisfied. Can I just say this? You ready for this? Are you ready for this? Leadership and delegation was the answer. And I just feel like we can't lose sight of honoring leadership. and seeing the wisdom of God in leadership and delegation. Don't lose your dance. Some people didn't like the fact that they didn't have direct access to Moses anymore. Are you hearing me? Well, I want Moses. I face that as the pastor. I got to talk to Pastor Steve. Only Pastor Steve. These are some of the phone calls I've gotten. I must speak to only Pastor Steve. I don't want to speak to any other person. Only Pastor Steve. And but God told me I'm to talk to Pastor Steve. I can't hear every single person. So we've got 20 pastors in our church that he helped lead the church. But one person finally got through to my assistant and she said, well, can you just tell us what it is? Because Steve wants to see how and who can best help you. And this is honest to what the person said. The Lord told me that I'm going to go away on 2 weeks vacation and Pastor Steve is to babysit my dog for 2 weeks. Is that a true story? And I said to my assistant, you tell them I am their pastor, not their dog babysitter. And they got all mad. And I went, you can be as mad as you want, but I'm looking after your dog. I'm not looking after your dog. And then, can I just say this? It is amazing. So God wants us to grow up. God wants us to become sustainable. God wants us to hear from God for ourselves. Anybody hearing this? And leadership and delegation. And I feel like there's too much negativity going on right now about leadership in our nation. Amen. Come on, somebody say amen. And then because of organizational growth, we can lose our dance. And don't lose our dance when God expects you to grow up. See, we want miracles, but God wants sustainability. We want God to provide miracles, manna from heaven, and God wants us to learn how to go into the promised land and build a harvest and build livestock and build a farm and build strength and so that we don't need God in everyday miracles for the things that God's already given us. Oh, it got very quiet. Let me show you what it looks like. Exodus 23, verse 30. Little by little, I will drive them out before you, until you have increased enough to take possession of the land. Little by little, I'll drive out your enemies, but I'll do it until you have increased enough to take possession of the land I'm going to give. If I gave it to you all at once, it'd be too much. Deuteronomy 7, verse 22. The Lord your God will drive out those nations before you little by little. You will not be allowed to eliminate them all at once, or wild animals will multiply all around you. So we got to get good with God actually giving to us as we grow, as we increase, God's able to give us more. God wants us to have the whole promised land, a land that flows with milk and honey. Amen. But until we are able to learn to manage what God's given us today, he cannot give you more. So how do I know that I'm growing? How do I know I'm maturing? Well, I think number one, you got to keep your dance. Amen. If you ain't singing, you ain't dancing, you're not maturing. Thank you for the underwhelming response. I wrote down seven things. You ready for this? Number one, desiring to go back. If you desire to go back, it's a sign you're still living more on just, you know, trusting man than you are God. A desire to go back. Number two, thinking you were better off in a world of slavery. Some people are addicted to crisis. And if there is no crisis, they create a crisis because the crisis is they have no crisis. Therefore, they're so addicted to crisis, they need a crisis to feel like they're comfortable. Number three, complaining and negativity toward the people who are leading you. It's a sign of spiritual infancy. It's a sign of spiritual maturity. It's a sign that you don't have a song and you don't have a dance. Come on, somebody say amen. Number four, repeating the same mistakes. How many times did they keep saying, God, why did you bring us here? Moses, why did you bring us here? They kept making the same mistake over and over again. Number five, wanting miracles over personal growth. Come on. Lord, you do it for me. But God wants, listen to this, God will not do for you what God wants you to do for yourself. Amen. I think that's good. Not seeing God in the little. We got to see God in the little things. And number seven, when you've lost your dance in the desert. Now, Amber, where are you? Here we are. Amber, how many think Amber is a great worship leader at Wave Church? So, Amber, I just want to make sure we take time in the service. So last week I preached about don't lose your dance.
We did.
And I think we actually had a chance to not just hear the word, but do the word.
We absolutely did.
And I think we actually took some steps in the right direction last Sunday.
Yes.
But this morning, just your assessment of the praise and worship in our service this morning, what would you think? Do you think
It was there. It was up a little bit, but I think we need to take it up a few more notches, a lot more.
I think so, don't you? So, is my water gun refilled? It is. All right. I'm just going to be having my water gun. I'm going to be walking. We're going to be singing. And if you ain't dancing, I'm shooting you with some water. I'm going to waterboard you this morning for Jesus. All right. Come on, let's all stand to our feet. Come on, online. Don't tune off right now. There's more to happen in this service. And we got a song this morning, and I want us to make sure that this morning we're not just hearers of the word, but we're doers. And I was so proud of some of you last Sunday. I was watching you. Some of you, this is a little bit uncomfortable. Some of you, so here's what you do. I said last Sunday, listen, maybe you're not used to dancing and you feel uncomfortable. Well, then maybe if you just wiggle your toe in your shoe, that's a start. And I noticed, as he said, some of you were kind of like statues, but then I noticed a little bit of music, a little bit of song, and before you know it, you got a bit of a, come on, I will enter his gates with thanksgiving in my heart. And online, I want to say to you, come on, you be a part of this service. We're going to sing this song, and I want us to sing. I want us to clap. I want us to dance. It's not before people. It's before God. Are you ready? Are you ready? Ha ha. Amen. The only people I did not shoot with the water gun was over here. I missed you. I personally apologize. Come and see me afterwards and I will personally. Josh Kelly soaked me with the water gun. Look at me. I gave him the gun. How many know I deserved it? Some of you could just deal with a good. If all you did was walk out of here smiling and you just thought to yourself, the pastor just shot me with a water gun, do you good. You need to smile about something in Jesus' name. Amen. I want to do one more thing before we close. I'm going to give it back to Josh in just a moment, but before we close, Wave Church, look at me now, exists for one reason. It's to see people come to know Jesus. See, in this atmosphere, how many agree? This atmosphere has a lot more faith in it now. Why? Because we actually broke out of something. We began to sing, we began to dance, and that always brings the presence of God. And Jesus knew that where there was no atmosphere of faith, there could be no miracles. One time, Jesus was going to raise Jairus' daughter from the dead. And he said, look, she's not dead. She's just asleep. And the Bible says people began to mock Jesus. See, there's that murmuring, there's that negativity. Experts in the environment, experts in the circumstances. But Jesus was speaking above that. He was charging the atmosphere with faith, knowing that faith could do miracles. If you wonder what your pastor is doing this morning, that's what I'm trying to do. I'm saying, come on, church, let's get above this in Jesus' name. Let's sing, let's dance, let's know that God is bigger and better and stronger. And so Jesus told the mockers, you can't stay. There can be no miracle where there's unbelief. And I'm telling you, in this atmosphere, I believe people are going to give their life to Jesus. I believe people are going to come back to God. Matter of fact, I just want to encourage people online. I've got a blackout on the screen here, so I don't know what's happening. But I know people are making decisions to give their life to Christ. Right now, people are making a decision to give their life to Jesus. Right now, all you got to do is click that button. Already, there we go. I don't know what happened to my screen, but it's back again. It's like a miracle. Look at that. The number is going up as I'm speaking. People making a decision to give their life to Jesus. But at Seaboard Road, I want to pray for you. For people who are watching in Greenville, I want to pray for you. For people right here, look at me, church. I know it's a scary thought, but look at me. Do you know Jesus? Are you a Christian? I would love to pray for you. In this atmosphere of faith, how many are believing with me? People are going to meet Jesus in this service. Amen. I want to pray with you. I want to pray for you.
I'm not going to ask you to come to the front. I'm not going to ask you to stand up. We're already standing. Just where you're standing, if you just say, Steve, I need to get right with God. Steve, I want to give my life to Jesus. Or maybe this morning you say, Steve, I've never known him. I've never, ever had a life-changing encounter with Jesus, and I just want to know him as you speak of. Maybe you once prayed a prayer, but you know today you're not living for God like you once were. Maybe negativity and murmuring and something took you out. I want to say, look at me now. Get your eyes off of people and just put them on Jesus. By the way, let me finish with this thought. Remember the time when Moses took a piece of wood, the tree? Remember that? And he threw it in the river, and the water that was bitter became sweet. God's answer to all bitterness is always a cross. It was from a tree that Jesus was crucified. It was a tree that was thrown into the river that made bitter sweet. God's answer is always the cross. And I want to say, come on, put your eyes on Jesus, not on man. Put your eyes on Jesus, not on man. The answer is the cross. And if you say, Steve, today, I need Jesus. I need the cross. I need forgiveness of sins. I want to get right with God. In a moment, we're going to close our eyes. We're going to bow our heads. And if you say, Steve, pray for me. Look at me now. You say, Steve, include me in that prayer. When we close our eyes, when we pray, would you lift your hand high enough and long enough for me to see it? Would you click that button right now as you're watching on that computer, or you're watching on that iPad, or you're watching whatever electronic device, and say, Steve, pray for me. I'm making a decision. Are you believing with me, church? That's why Wave Church is here. All right, let's all close our eyes and bow our heads. And if I'm talking to you and you say, Steve, pray for me. Steve, include me in that prayer. I want to get right with God. I want to come back to God. Lift your hand right now all over the building. God bless you. God bless you. Who else? God bless you all over the building. God bless you. Who else? Well, lift your hand. God bless you. Who else? Come on, keep lifting it. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. Who else? Well, lift your hand. Come on, I'm looking for you. I'm looking for you. I want to make sure I don't miss you. God bless you. God bless you. Hands are being raised. God bless you. God bless you. Who else? My last call. If you haven't lifted your hand, God bless you. My last call. Come on, lift it up. Give it a wave. I want to pray with you and for you. God bless you. Church, can we give a Lord? There's probably 20 people at least in this auditorium. Let's pray this prayer. Say, Lord Jesus, I ask you today to come into my life, to make yourself real to me. I receive you now as my Lord and Savior. I am now a Christian, in Jesus' name, amen. Now, can we give God, I know we've clapped, but let's give God some praise.
We hope you enjoyed this message by Pastor Steve Kelly. You can find more resources by Pastor Steve at stevekelly.tv and wavechurch.com.